Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Thank you, Jesus. You're in need this morning, but He's met every one of those needs. Hallelujah. It's not in you. It's not in your mind, your thoughts, your understanding, your strength. It's not in your power nor within your finances. It's all within Him. Amen. You're needing a God this morning. You're needing a salvation. You're needing a healer, a redeemer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come to the revelation to realize how much in need you truly are. Get out of your overconfidence of your own strength and your own understanding and lean upon Him this morning and say, God, fill me with your spirit, your revelation, with your mind, your understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then you're stepping forth on a threshold of great things. Hallelujah. You are. It's not easy to talk like this when you know how much of a need you're truly in. It's not hard to think like this. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you could be in strength and in power and in health, and you could be rich, and you're still standing in such the same way as I'm speaking. You're in need of a living God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you own the whole world. It doesn't matter if your bank accounts are overflowing. You still are in need of a God and a Savior and a salvation, a supplier, one that'll meet every need. Your finances won't meet the needs that He puts within your heart and within your mind. Your strength won't ever get there. Your understanding will fall far shy. We need God. We need the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord. We need the power, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Can you worship Him, saints? Close your eyes and lift up your hands and worship Him and thank Him and praise Him. If you found yourself lacking, you should lift up your hands and rejoice and say, hallelujah, God. You've met all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Hallelujah. If you're weak, lift up your hands and say, thank you, God, for your strength and your power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. If you're lacking revelation and understanding, lift up your hands and say, thank you, Almighty God, for giving me the mind of Christ and understanding and revelation. Hallelujah. It won't be hid. It won't be secret, brothers and sisters. He's my everything this morning, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Say, God, give me the understanding that I'm in need of salvation, in need of a Savior, in need of power, in need of the mind of Christ, in need of the power, hallelujah, of His resurrection. I'm in need, Almighty God, hallelujah, because I was born in weakness, born in carnality, born in humanity, and I need the mind of eternal life, the mind of Christ, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. He's truly Emmanuel. He's truly with us. He's truly in us and through us, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise Him, saints, love Him. Fall in love with Him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence, your spirit, your power. I thank you, Lord God. Father, knowing, Lord, every moment of my life, how much of a need I have for thee. Father, knowing I could do nothing, accomplish nothing, say nothing. Father, nor could I have life without you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you look down through the frailty of time, Lord, and seen the need that I have. Lord God, in the need of the human race and the people. Lord God, even as they press into their own way and climb up another way and feel like they have so much when they have nothing and truly lack. Lord God, I thank you that you could see through their overconfidence of human reasoning and human mind, Lord, the need and the necessity of salvation. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the struggles, the pains, the agonies. I thank you, Lord, for the tribulations and the persecutions, Lord God, that make us hold on to you tighter and know that we need that much more. I thank you for the financial crashes and devastations, Lord. I thank you for poverty, Lord God, and sickness and weakness, Lord. I thank you for those things allow us to see you and know you. Lord God, I know that the financial strength of human reasoning and of this world pulls us away from you and puts us into a confidence abundance of our own self, Father, and leads us astray into damnation. But Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that the only strength and the only finances and the only prosperity is in your Spirit and by your Spirit, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that this overflows within our hearts and minds and our thoughts, Lord God, and that we truly can walk without lack and without the things of this world, Lord God, but we could have these things given unto us by your strength and power, Lord God, and your love, that we could walk beyond reproach, Lord God, in this world, Father God, and be lifting up your mighty power and your name, Lord, and your provisions. Father, teach us to understand what is yours and what isn't, and what has been given as a lie and a snare, and what has been given by the mercies and the love and the compassion of a living God. Help us this morning, O God. Hallelujah. I, as man, have nothing to say, Lord God, and know nothing. Just know that I'm in need, Lord God, of you to utilize this vessel. Father, as I surrender my mind, my life, my thoughts, and everything over to you this morning, dependent upon you. Father God, let a congregation see a dependency that they had to have for you to open up the ears of understanding and the eyes of understanding, Lord God, that they could perceive and comprehend what the Spirit of God would speak from beyond the veil, from the invisible realms, Lord God, that he could speak and encourage and edify our hearts. Let us get out of human reasoning and out of a fleshly mind of understanding and climbing up another way and truly come dependent upon you this morning. Open our hearts, our mind, our thoughts this morning, O God, that we could walk in the power of your righteousness. We love you and thank you with a great expectation, Almighty God. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Can we all say amen this morning? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. He's worthy, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like I've been to church this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You can all be seated this morning. We'll go to the Word here and read the Scriptures. We'll go to the written Word. We'll go to the spoken Word. We'll go to the Spirit of the Word. And we'll go with an expectation and with a need. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, I listened to maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes this morning of Brother Hagee over there in San Antonio, Texas. Am I encouraging you to follow or after this brother? No, I'm truly not, but I can truly say that I listened to his message for a few minutes and he had a wonderful message this morning. And he was going into some things that isn't uncommon and isn't a new revelation or isn't something that we've never heard or never considered or never thought on, but he was talking about we as sheep. And he went into the ignorance of a sheep and the weakness of a sheep. You know, we're considered as sheep. Jesus, the Lamb of God, you know, taken to a slaughter silently. And we've talked about this and pondered on it and thought about it. You know, sheep do need a savior. Sheep need a shepherd. And sometimes we get, you know, in our mind and our thoughts as a sheep that, you know, we're just conquerors and we're powerful and we're this and that. We have received the spirit of conquering power. But I like something that he's made mention to talk about the need of a sheep. He was using ball teams for an example. And he said, have you ever heard of the Los Angeles sheep or the New York sheep or whatever? He said, no, it's always a lion. It's always the tigers or something powerful, some kind of an animal that is powerful, that could fight and willing to fight. And when you think of it, brothers and sisters, of what a sheep truly is and how it has no means of protection, it absolutely will wander and walk right into the adversary's camp, so to speak, and find itself slaughtered. And those kind of thoughts, brothers and sisters, make us really realize the dependency that we have of God. We receive power, brothers and sisters. We're not talking about a power for the other side. We're not talking about a power that is going to be some futuristic thing in the kingdom of God. Or in that perspective, we know that we're in the kingdom. But we still have to differentiate the needs that we truly have for God. We can get, because we've walked in his blessings and in his power and in his strength, and we've walked in it from time to time, and we saw him take us maybe through the fires and the persecutions and tribulations, that we could start feeling invincible, and we could start feeling like, man, there ain't nothing could touch me. Brothers and sisters, in a dimensional sense, that we need to understand that and know that, and know nothing could be laid to our charge, and nothing could harm us. And we need to understand that and walk, but when we're walking in that, we're not walking in our own strength. We're walking in the arms of a shepherd, thinking, you know what? Nothing can harm me because I'm in his arms. Nothing can touch me because my shepherd has a staff there and he wouldn't let anything get near to me. We're in dependency. We're not overconfident and cocky when the sheep, you know, gets off in its own mind, its own thoughts, and he strays away, puts himself in a place that the adversary can get to him and tear him up. You've heard the story of the shepherds of old. They would take the little sheep that used to wander and wander astray. And they said they'd take that little sheep and they'd break its leg purposely. And then the thing seen the need and the dependency that it really has for a shepherd. shepherd. And a shepherd would carry that thing around while the other sheep were walking and grazing and stuff. He would have to carry it out there to the place of grace. And that sheep would learn through those kind of things that it was really needed a shepherd and needed, truly needed that. And we know who the shepherd is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we are shepherds in Christ. Amen. And that a man of God that calls himself a shepherd or a pastor, he knows that that's the only way that that is in Christ. Amen. So all glory, all honor, all power, all praise, everything goes unto him. Amen. Well, does that mean that we don't give admiration to who it would be due? The only one it's due to is the one that's in him. It's not due to the one with a college education. It's not due to the one with a theologian degree. It's not due to the one that has strived and those kind of things. It's due to Christ. Amen. And the Lord, if you would follow the scriptures and the word, he'll take a nobody and raise him up and make him into a somebody. Amen. And he'll do that because he grants the spirit and the life and the power. And what happens is sometimes we don't like God's way. Sometimes God's way seems to be too much humiliation, too much humility. You know, when you bow your head down, when they speak all manner of evil against you and you look at them and smile and say, I love you. And they ridicule you and criticize you and mock you and laugh at you. You would like to raise up in your own strength. Bless God, I'm a man of God. You're not going to do this to me. And you're not going to do that. But see, we've missed it. We're not projecting we as anything or anybody. We're projecting only Christ in everything and all things. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you say, I want revelation. I want the mysteries of God. Well, this is a mystery I'm speaking to many because they've never lived there, never done that. That's the greatest mystery and the greatest revelation that you could ever come to, is that you could die and let Christ live. That you could truly die and let Christ be revealed. And all glory and all honor and all praise goes unto him. And you're not standing in the line to be praised or to be worshipped or to be magnified as some great thing. When you come to that kind of a revelation, you've come to something that very few have ever come to or have ever truly found. When you come to a place that you want to give him all glory, all honor, and all praise, then you've really truly came somewhere. Turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians. How oftentimes do we do things for own ambitions and own self and own praise and own strength and own finance? See, those things profit you nothing. They'll profit you nice homes, nice cars. They'll profit you things that are temporal. But when you're doing things for others and you're seeking after the better well-being of others and the concern for others, that's when you're truly raised up. That's when you're truly raised up. And you're raised up where? To the throne of God. You're raised up absolutely to the throne of a living God. Amen. And you're put in a place that you cannot be touched, but it comes by seeking what is greater and better for others. Let's go to the first chapter there, about 16. It says, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein do rejoice ye, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. I want to say a couple things. What is the strength of this man's life right there and what we just heard? Think about it. It wasn't, I'm going to live, man, because I want accomplishments. I'm going to live because I want to gain things of this world. I'm going to live because I'm going to show myself. I'm going to raise myself up as a president or a governor, or because I'm going to be seen in this world and people are going to know me and they're going to esteem my name. Everything that he said, the only thing that he has concern for, the only thing, he said he would rather die. He would rather just go on and be with the Lord. That's what he would rather do. He said he's between this. You know, a man who'd just be a great thing just to enter into reward and enter into the labors of Christ and just go right on. You know, this is what He's saying, but there was only reason that he had to live. What is your reason of life? Well, I want to raise my kids. I want to raise my grandkids. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want the things of this world. So you're an heir. You say, well, don't you want those things, Brother Rob? No, I seek after life and the spirit world and eternal life, and all those things are added. Those things are just a reflection, brothers and sisters, of what the spirit world is and spirit life. If you truly are saying that because you love your family or love your grandchildren, you could say that. And you say, well, I love my family. I want to help them. I want to strengthen them. I want to be an example. A grandfather's not worth a count unless he's showing his grandchildren Christ. A father's not worth even having breath in his lungs unless he's showing his children what God is and who God is and what the love of God is. Showing them a sacrificial life, a life that is not seeking after its own, but a life that's seeking after the care and the things of others. A father nor a mother isn't worth a count to be called a father or mother unless they're raising up their children this way. Teaching your children to make sacrifices. Teaching them to be concerned about their friends more than they are their own self and seeking the desires after others. Brothers and sisters, we're put in a place to be an example. And if we could start showing this kind of love, kind of compassion, kind of concern, kind of works for others, esteeming others greater, doing for others more than yourself, you're going to see that you'll come into a world that has no lack, has no sorrows, has no perspectives of when you find people in the natural mind and there always seems to be a lack there. There always seems to be something as, man, I wished I could do this over. I wished I could do this. When you find yourself in Christ and you've totally surrendered your body as that sacrifice and you solely give it, there is no sorrows. There is none. But when you find those things and those lacks, it's because you failed to give the ultimate sacrifice. And many times I find in Christianity that we're always going through life protecting ourselves, and we're always looking for protection and admiration to ourselves. We want to project ourselves as, man, we're the one, or we're somebody, and we're this and that. See, we've never come to revelation when we're in that kind of a mind. Because when we put ourselves in front of that mind and say, you know, you won't know this mind except for me, then the thing is that you've robbed God. And you'll be standing before the Lord, climbed up another way as a thief and a robber. That's not no place to be, amen. Brothers and sisters, this is not so much exhortations, or this is not so much a chastening of the Lord here this morning. This is the words of life. This is the words to differentiate these life. And sometimes we get so ecstatic and caught up into such a way of glorifying natural life and esteeming this natural life that we forget and we fail and violate the invisible realm of God, the spirit world. And that's where the true life is. This life that you see with natural eyes is a perverted life. It's a life full of perversion, and it's a lying vanity. It is the life that projects this uncertain sound that we spoke about. And you say, but Brother Rob, you teach us that we need to let Christ be revealed, that people could see the kingdom, the invisible things of God within our life. I say, yes. But you see, this is where there's a fine line of differentiation there. You see, there's a lying vanity. And there is a way that we could project a life that would look like a godly life without the Spirit of Christ. There is a way that we could climb up another way, and through self-will and self-righteousness and through religion and religious study of mind and thoughts and understanding, that we could will a performance and actually bring our life under subjection to the power of human will. And we could go through and people will look and say, man, there's a man of God. There's a child of God. Boy, there's this and that. Plus the rain coming even on top of that, on the unjust, and that rain coming down, and you'll see what would be the spirit of manifestation of an invisible spiritual world and realm. But we got to remember that Satan is the deceiver and the father of all lies, and he could give that kind of a spirit. He could speak in tongues, he could dance and prophesy, and he could do all of those things, and that's where the strength of deception even comes into that much more play, because he could play the role as a savior, he could play the role as a shepherd, he could transform as a minister of light, and he is darkness, but he could transform as a minister of light and to deceive the very elect if it were possible, brothers and sisters. And then we get into a differentiation between the elect and what's not the elect. And we got to find out who is the elect, brothers and sisters. You say, man, it's my natural self. Man, I'm the elect of God. Man, he's granted me his spirit to put this thing through a metamorphosis and a change. Man, he made me strong and he made me powerful. Man, I'm the elect of God. You see, you've missed it, brothers and sisters. The natural elect already had that opportunity to walk in their power and their strength. They had that ability to go through, and he said, I want you to take that city over there. And them soldiers of the elect of God would go through, and they'd kill every beast and every man and woman and every child, and they'd come out victorious as conquerors and things, but they failed God. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. You see, they needed more than that ability of great masculine strength. They needed more than that great ability of their conquering power. They needed more than what education could bring. Moses himself rose up in the house of the soldiers, so to speak, or the mind of military, the mind kind of power. The most prominent country in things of that time with its power, and had these Israeli people in captivity and bondage. But he raised up in that home and he saw that there was something more greater and more powerful than that. And he had to come down. He had to take himself out there to be beaten by the ones that he was even empowered over and different things. And he found himself, brothers and sisters, being in need. Amen. When he stood there before the Red Sea, he knew that they needed salvation. He knew that there was nothing that he could do with all of his ability and skills and might being trained up in Pharaoh's way. Brothers and sisters, masculinity and strength and power is not shown the way that you think it is. It's shown in weakness. You see, we're trained as men. We're trained as men. And when we get into a ruckus or whatever, man, we'll show them. And we see the guy that drops his head and walks away. And we say, man, that man's a sissy. That man's weak. That man's powerless, you know. But there's the one. You see, we're so perverted in the way we think and in our mind. But there is the one that has showed long suffering, or showed possibly, we could say, humility. And saying, hey, you know, whatever, I'm sorry you feel that way. You see, I was trained up as a man. And that was always numbered to me. And I looked at it as a weakness. But I'm telling you what, I found that in the mind of Christ that I've stood before the enemy on numerous occasions, and they come with their masculinity and their power of their own strength and understanding, and they ridicule and accuse and insult and curse and stand up, and you just go on in weakness as that lamb, knowing that you're being crucified all the day long. And this is how life comes, life to others. I'm not seeking for my eternal life, brothers and sisters. I'm not here looking for my salvation. I'm not here looking that I could have life and life abundantly. I am life and life abundantly because it's been granted by the Spirit of God. And I found the mystery, the secret, the revelation to having that. And it's one of self-denial. It's one to walk in the weakness of human flesh. It's one to not esteem itself better than the other, to really come to the revelation that the Scriptures talks about, that you esteem others greater than yourself, and you're seeking the welfare of others. When you are constantly looking for your manifestation, and you're looking for your ship to come in, and you're looking to make that goal, you'll never find it. Even though you might be the wealthiest man in the world someday, you haven't found what I'm speaking about, amen. And when you found what I'm speaking about, he'll add an increase to you, and there'll be no sorrows, amen. Let's read on just a little bit more. Verse 27 of chapter 1 in the book of Philippians, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Is that the mind that we're looking for, brothers and sisters? Sometimes we're seeking after a mind of satisfaction, a mind of prestige, a mind of self-worth, a mind of self-righteousness, and that kind of a mind. But we need to be with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Have you suffered for Christ? Many of our church ministers and leaders and teachers, they teach, even as the brother from India came here and stood behind our sacred desk, and he said, if your pastor or your church teaches suffering, he said, run from that. You know, see, that's not the mind of Christ. He says, equip yourself in a mind to suffer. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we run from suffering when we need to run to suffering. You see, and suffer for his name's sake. Be belittled for his name's sake. Be crucified for him. Brothers, sisters, this is where life comes at. This is where it comes with. See, as a man, you'll run from that, and you'll rob not only yourself, but you'll rob others from salvation. Amen. Having the same conflict, verse 30, which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Go on into chapter 2 here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let me read that again. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Brothers and sisters, we act like we're people of revelation, and we want revelation, and we want this. But brothers and sisters, the revelational things of God are so simplistic. They're so simple. But revelation, brothers and sisters, is revealing a crucified life. It's revealing a life of a lamb. It's revealing a life, brothers and sisters, of persecutions and humilities and tribulations. Because you know why? We're not looking to be the conqueror, brothers brothers and sisters, we're looking to manifest the conqueror within us. And he manifests in ways that doesn't bring self-esteem. It brings Christ esteem and glorify God. Have you ever been to a place that you've come that your will, your presence, your finances, your understanding, everything that you got falls shy? Have you ever been put in a place that you're in the hands of others and in the mercies of others? You know, when you come to that place, then you get out of the way, your thoughts, your will, your strength, your power, and say, God, here I am. I'm dependent upon you. That's an awesome place to be. Brothers and sisters, I find very few people that really get there. I see us, you know, as Christians, you know, and we're just going along and got everything. We've got heat, we got cool, we've got food, we've got shelter, we got housing, we got warmth, we got clothing, we've got finances, we got everything that we want. We got our own businesses and we just go along through life and man, praise God. Hallelujah, I got all these things because God gave them to me. Did he? Did God give them to you or did you climb up another way? Did you bypass the mind of God, the love of God, the power of God, the things of God? Have you seen that those things are benefiting others? If you got strength and wealth and finances and it's not benefiting others and you didn't get those things for the need of others and for the well-being of others, then it's not God's. I'm telling you, when you come to the revelation of the Lord, then you know that you are nothing, have nothing, and can say nothing, that you are a servant of a living God and that you are dependent upon Him. Amen. Have you ever really come to the thinking of that maybe that every breath is going in and out of your lungs and every time that heart beats, it's dependent on another world, another thing that you have no control of? Brothers and sisters, young men die. Young babies die. Children die. We're praying and getting prayer requests for little children and babies and things continually all the time, brothers and sisters. You know, we need to get into a place of knowing how fragile that this temporal life is and how temporal that it truly is. If you live to be 90, 100, or 120, or 200 years old, if medical science comes up with a pill that you could buy tomorrow and you take this pill and it rejuvenates that old fleshly body and it rejuvenates, it makes that heart like one of a 20-year-old. What is that? It's nothing, brothers and sisters. It's all still temporal. It's fragile. You know, I remember Brother Pike speaking one time about the real fragile of this life. He says he's seen people roll down the road and busted up in cars and rolling cars over and they get busted to pieces, their old bodies and stuff, and they roll out of that thing. You think there's no way they'll live through that. And man, they get out of that thing and that old body mends back together and they go again. But he said, on the other hand, he says you could walk up behind somebody and don't see you coming and go boom and slam them right in the ribs and pow, they're dead just like that. That's how fragile life is. Scared life out of here for a moment and then gone. What makes you think you got a promise of tomorrow? What is the number of your days of this temporal life? The Bible said today is the day of salvation. You know, salvation is saved out of temporal life into eternal life. That's what true salvation is, brothers and sisters. But you know, the thing is that when you're standing before the Lord, you're not standing there with the reports and you're not standing there of your greatness or your goodness or what you've done. The only thing that you could be standing there is in weakness and humility that I've given everything I could. And I know that was my reasonable service and it was nothing, God. It was nothing, nothing. When you give everything, it's nothing compared to what He's got for us in store, brothers and sisters. This life is nothing. It's a lying vanity. When you seek after the things of this life and of this world, you're sacrificing the things of eternal life. Amen. We have to use the things of this world to reach others, brothers and sisters. They're not for a comfort zone of us. The things aren't for our comfort zone and our this and that. The things that we have are that we could reach others. That's the only reason that God will give them to us. And when you lose sight of that and lose vision of that, those things could melt away unless it's an uncertain sound. And that uncertain sound will make others believe a lie and be damned. But I want to walk in the soundness and the surety in Christ. Amen. There's not an uncertain sound there. It is a distinct sound of eternal life in Him, sealed in with Him, predestined in Him. Everything's in Him. And when we get in the way of that, we're outside of Him. Amen. Now, let's go on in the second chapter again. Again, in verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now we say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look at Christ. If He's our example, He's our God, our salvation, He's our Savior. He is our example. He is the example. Now look at Him being the King of all, the Lord of all lords. And He come to this earth. Did He come to esteem Himself as somebody great? They said, come on, the zealots of His day and hour were trying to press Him in, you know, to take in kingship on this side, taking royalty on this side. But He chose not. He chose to be criticized. He chose to be mocked and ridiculed. He chose to go through a death, brothers and sisters, that was the most disgraceful thing for even a man to go through, let alone a king and a savior to go through. I mean, He chose that, brothers and sisters. Why? Because because he wasn't seeking his own when he was here. He was here seeking what was good for you and what was good for me. Amen. Now, if you think that you have become one with him and become partakers of that, that means what? Just as we read here, that you're in the same mind. You see, when you're seeking your own and seeking the welfare of yourself and everything's selfish motivated around yourself and looking for self, the Bible said if you labor for only one reason, that you have to give. Give to who? Unto the work of God, unto the things of God, unto the furtherance of the gospel of God. And if you're laboring outside of that, then you've climbed up another way and your labors will be absolutely the very thing to testify against you. And you say, well, this isn't really a wonderful message, Brother Rob. You know, it isn't a wonderful message to a man. But when you come to sonship and you come to being full of the Holy Ghost and you come to receiving the power of God, then the thing is that you will be lifted up for one thing, not to show your strength and your wealth and your prosperity, to be lifted up for one thing, to show that you gave all those things up. It means nothing to you, and you'll find a crucified way. And you say, man, there's got to be an easier way and a better way. That's the only way, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to say. He chose that way, and he's the firstborn of many brethren. And the thing is he's going to bring you into his mind. What is his mind? When you're persecuted, you rejoice. When you're in tribulation, you praise him and magnify him. Amen. When you're being crucified, you're long-suffering and say, I love you. I forgive you. And you have this gentleness and kindness and the love of Christ manifesting in you. You can't do what I'm speaking about as a man. Brothers and sisters, it takes the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It takes the infilling of his power, or you'll never be able to do that. But I want to hear the message of all this blessings and everything that he's given us. He has given us and blessed us with everything that pertaineth unto life on this side and on the other side. But brothers and sisters, you could have all the abundance of life on this side and have nothing on the other side. You have to learn to look beyond the veil. And when you see the life on the other side and its prosperity and its blessings and its strength and its glory and its honor, then it will overflow to this side. You have to fill the other side up first. The other side's the invisible side. The other side is not seen by man. The other side mocks and humiliates you and says that you're ignorant, that you're just weakness and the weakness of mind. You know, that you're just a follower, that you're not a leader. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You don't even know what a leader is. And when you think of it, the one that's pushing his way through life with his masculinity and making people submit and subject themselves, and they get the power over them in finances and the power over them with wealth, power over them with jobs and the power over them. That's not the way God leads, brothers and sisters. He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, owned everything, owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, brothers and sisters, and he come in humility and weakness to be ridiculed and to be mocked. His disciples and the followers of him came the same way, the same mind. When they rejoiced when they were being persecuted in tribulation, they rejoiced in the weakness of human flesh and rejoiced in the weakness of man. And that's when they were rejoicing in that, is when they found true, genuine strength. Seek after strength, you won't find it. Seek after life, and you won't find it. But seek after death, and you'll find that you stepped into the threshold of life. Because if you go to save your life, the Bible says you'll lose it. But when you come to give your life, that's when you have found it. When you're seeking after strength, brothers and sisters, you'll find a temporal strength that's a vanity and a lie and an uncertain sound. But you seek after weakness and humility, and he'll add a strength to you and a power to you, brothers and sisters, that there's nothing can touch it. Nothing can stand before it. When your masculine strength and your masculine power, when the doctors look you in the eye and say that you're dying and we can't do no more for you, you find weakness then that can't be satisfied, brothers and sisters. But when you go there and you submit by the mind of a living God to the weaknesses and the vanities of this world, then you'll step into a supernatural strength and a power and an abundance of life. Amen. And it'll manifest in your life now. And you say, well, what is it, Brother Rob? Do we have to walk around as the weakness of a lamb? And I say, yeah and amen. That's when you start coming to revelation. You start coming to revelation that you absolutely are going to show the love of God through that. Let me read on just a little more. You might say this morning, this ain't the message that I wanted this morning. Brothers and sisters, this is the only message. There is no other message. There is no other revelation. There is no other mystery. You see, brothers and sisters, a mystery is a secret. I'm sharing with you the secrets of life. Right now, I'm sharing with you the secret of revealing Christ. I'm sharing with you the secret of the mystery of God. You see, we think, brothers and sisters, that we've come to some mystery or some kind of understanding when we're being exalted and esteemed. That is the mystery of human reasoning and flesh that's looking and desiring that. Brothers and sisters, you know that you've come to revelation and mysteries when you've come to a place that it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I can't express that with enough strength. Nothing matters except him and his world, his kingdom, his life, his power, his strength, and that you would lay your life down for a nothing and a nobody. How many of you are there? How many of you are truly willing to just go ahead and lay your life down, let alone an enemy, let alone somebody that you love? You know, to really lay your life down. How many of you are willing to lay your families down? How many of you are willing to lay your companions down? How many of you are willing to lay your strength down? How many are willing to lay your finances down? How many are there? You know, we all need to drop our head in shame. You know that, brothers and sisters? Because we're truly haven't come there. You know, I'm a pastor here. I observe. Yes, I could talk to you as some of the greatest people I've ever was and ever is and ever will be. Because I'm looking beyond the veil of your failures and your shortcomings, and I'm looking for that spark or that life there, of that prism, of that light of Christ striking that day star of your heart, that it could come forth. I look into that and I speak by faith. I speak of things that are not as if they were, and I encourage you as children of God and sons of God, and I encourage you as the salvation to this world and the saviors to this world, and I speak that way. But brothers and sisters, we got to get a hold of that faith. We got to get a hold of that mind and get a hold of that understanding that we receive the encouragement that comes forth, and now we are the sons of God. Well, what is a son of God? What is a son of God? Well, it's a king's kid. But what did the king do? He came and laid his life down that others could have life. There is a manifestation of royalty on this side. And the manifestation on this side, brothers and sisters, is weakness and humility. That's what it is on this side. But the manifestation on this side of weakness and humility catches you into the third heaven, the invisible realm. And there's no weakness there. There's no lack there. There's no starvation there. There's no hunger there. There's no beatings there. No weakness of those things there. There's no more plucking the beard there and spitting in the face there. But God suffers that. Paul made a statement. He said, talking about his life, in life or death. You know, that he come to exalt Christ in life or death. This is where we've got to come. It don't matter what takes place, what happens in this temporal life. We're going to glorify God in it and praise God in it. Know that he's having his way in it in all things. And we magnify him and rejoice and we praise him. Are you there, brothers and sisters, if you came to that revelation? Let's read on just a little more. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, let's talk about that exalted for just a moment before we read on anymore. I'm going to read verse 9 again. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. We know that name, brothers and sisters, and we're not ashamed of that name. If we're ashamed of that name, he said he's also ashamed of us. He said if we're ashamed of him and ashamed of that name, then he'll be ashamed of us and he won't present us to the Father. Amen. So we shouldn't be ashamed of that name. We should know what that name is. But why was he exalted, brothers and sisters? What brought him to be exalted? You say because of his power, because he was God. That's why he was exalted. No, he was exalted, brothers and sisters, through humility and weakness of man and flesh, and showed that there was a way, brothers and sisters, into life. He's the door. Brothers and sisters, if he is the door to the sheepfold, if he is the door, brothers and sisters, into the third heaven, if he is, and we know he is, the door, the way, the truth, he's the life, and he is the only door and the only way. Now, if he is the door, then we have to look and see what opened this door and why this door was opened and what was the key to the door that became open. Now, you know, we could look at how great of a God he is, how great of a salvation he is, and great of a savior he is. We could talk about the power that he utilized over manly and human reasoning and that kind of a life. But brothers and sisters, why did he do all those things as an example unto you and I? And he says that when we receive his spirit, and we receive the infilling of his spirit, and we receive his mind, then we're about his business. We're about the Father's business. So what is the Father's business? Well, I would say that Jesus knew the Father's business more than anybody, because he was God. He was the mind of Jesus manifested to mankind. And he took this mind and he manifested it and utilized it in earthen vessel. He took this mind that came in a weakness and made it into a strength and a power. What was the strength and the power? Was it pulling the sword? Was it taking the heads off the adversary? Was it putting the armies of the world of that day under his foot and putting a chokehold on them? No, it wasn't. The thing that he came to conquer was that mind of man. The thing that he came to conquer was the earth, but there's the earth earthen vessel. That was what he came to conquer and to make a show of openly. That's why he took it, brothers and sisters, in that kind of a weakness to show the strength that he had over it. He didn't fight for himself. He didn't say, I'm God. He didn't say, I created this world. I'm the one that spoke everything in existence. I've got the power of your heart beating right there within your chest. I could speak the word and it would stop. I could speak the word and that breath will quit going in and out your nose. I could speak the word and the fire come down out of heaven because I'm the one that spoke it when Elijah called forth it. I'm the one that allowed it to come. He could have said those things, brothers and sisters, but he didn't. You see, he came in humility. He let him speak all manner of evil. And when you rise up against the adversary, when they're speaking and crucifying you and doing those things, see, you've not manifested the power of God. You've not manifested it. You say, oh, I've got the revelation of the power of God. Some of you think you have the revelation of the power of God and you think that the power of God is provision. You know, it's provision. But you know, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his own head. He said, you know, the birds have a nest. You know, the fox has a hole. But the Son of Man didn't even have a place to lay his head. And what is the power of God? That was the power of God, brothers and sisters. It was the power of suffering, the power of tribulation, the power of denying himself. You want the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Deny yourself. You want the power of God? Deny human strength. You want to be manifested and you want to say, I want to see the manifestation of the Son of God? The only way you'll see the revelation or the manifestation of God is in humility and crucifixion. That's it. Well, there's got to be another way. That is the way. If our God and our Savior and our salvation and he come and went that way, you think that there's another way? He is the way, the Bible says, the truth. He is the life. And there's no other way to come in but by him. Which road did he lead us on? He led us down a life of crucifixion, a life of suffering, a life that's, brothers and sisters, it's temporal. You know, it's grievous for the moment, but brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you this morning about understanding what true life is. We got to quit seeking to save our life. You'll lose it. We're seeking to save others. We're seeking to esteem others. We got to quit seeking after self-wealth. We're looking for the wealth of others. Then we've come to the true wealth that will never leave. It's like the woman that had just enough food for her and her child. He said, make the prophet something to eat. Make me something to eat. Your meal barrel will never go dry. She could have said, well, you self-righteous thing. Who do you think you are? You want me to feed you and my son and I die? But you know what? She heard beyond the veil. She heard something that's saying, you know what? If I could do this. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're holding on to a little bit. And you think, well, I got to hold on this little bit. This is all I've got. But you see that widow woman, she come to a revelation. She said, I'm going to take the little bit I got. I'm going to give it to God. You see, brothers and sisters, if you take all you got and give it unto God, then you've stepped into plenty. You'll step into where the meal barrel never runs dry. I remember the man that ordained me into the ministry in 1987. He laid his hands on me and he said, you know, the Lord has showed me. And I know a lot of the prophets, I come against the prophet ministry of this day. You know, oh, God's going to bless you and he's going to do this and he's going to do that. But brothers and sisters, it's a crucified way because that's his way. But the man said, you know, the Lord has showed me that your meal barrel never run dry. Brothers and sisters, it's been challenged. It's been tested. In numerous times. It's because of my smartness and my education and me listening to my father as a child and learning a skill why I'd never run dry. If you believe that you're ignorant, if you believe that you're a fool, I could say that in the mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, my understanding and my education could seek wealth on this side. It could seek provisions on this side and prosperity on this side. And it's had those things and been walking in those things, but there's no satisfaction in those things. Wealthy men, full of wealth and worth millions of dollars, they beat their companions and beat their wives and they're sorry and they're sorrowful and there's sadness and there's all these things in their life. Brothers and sisters, they're looking for some kind of a peace of mind at the bottom of a beer jug or some kind of a whiskey bottle or some kind of a wine bottle. Brothers and sisters, we know what life is. We don't have to seek it to get a relief of this mind in some kind of a way, shape, or form. We're walking in the peace of a sound mind in Christ. We're walking in the revelation of the Lord and knowing that this life is full of miseries and trials and tribulations and full of sorrows and grief. And we're not looking for a satisfaction on this side. We know that we're passing through here as ambassadors for Christ and we're just passing through here to give life to somebody else. And I'll say it again, I'm not here to seek after my salvation. I am salvation. I'm not here seeking after my wealth and my riches and my finances. All those things have been given to me and they're stored away and hid in. And you'll have opportunity to see those things if you get your hand in the nail-scarred hand that's leading you down a crucified way and a crucified life. Brothers and sisters, sisters, the things that I've come to are eternal. They're eternal. They're invisible to you now, but they're eternal, hid away in the heavenlies, sealed in. That decay can't get to those things. It can't touch the things that I've got. It can't get to it. It can't steal it away. It can't take it away, brothers and sisters. Everything on this life is temporal and it's vexation to the Spirit of God. Everything in this life, brothers and sisters, and everything here is an uncertain sound. Get your eyes off of this world. Get your eyes off of your life. Get your eyes off the pride of life. Get your eyes off self-esteem. Get your eyes off those things. Get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes on Christ. Everything, if it's for the others. If you've come into the mind of Christ, you came into the mind of well-being for others, seeking after others, doing for others. Have you come to that place? Have you come to that? Well, if I come to that, Brother Rob, you know, I'll lose out. I'll lack. You know, if I'm just out trying to take care of everybody, I'm going to be the guy that lacks. I said, no, you ain't come to the revelation I'm talking about. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, when you come into the revelation, you'll never lack. You might find yourself with nothing, walking down the street of despair and have nothing, but you'll never lack. Because He won't allow you to lack. Somebody will step out of a dark alley and say, hey, the Lord spoke to me and said for me to give this to you. And it might be that one meal. But you know what? Then you'll have faith. And guess what? The next one will come. Amen. And I'm telling you, when you're walking in Christ, you will not lack. And He never seen His righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread, brothers and sisters. That's the Word of God. Brother Pike was speaking one time. He said, you know, if God spoke to you and said, I want you to take the rest of your life and I want you to take just nothing but gospel tracts and I want you to hit the streets of America and start passing out gospel tracts. He said, you'll never work another day in your life. And that's all you do if God told you to do that. He said, you'll never go hungry and you'll never lack for anything. He said, God will make a way to you. You might hand a gospel tract to somebody and turn around and say, brother, I feel led to this. And He might hand you a $20 bill. You know, but God will make a way. You will not lack. And you say, well, that would be the same as a beggar. No, that's a man about the Father's business. And the Spirit of God said, this is what I want you to do. And you go forth and do it. And He says, I'll make a way. Amen. And that's when the provisions rain down and the things rain down. You say, well, you got to work. You got to do this. He was about the Father's business. He was working, doing something that's under the Lord. I'm speaking, brothers and sisters. You could hear me and say, well, I'm going to do that and take off and do it. And you might find yourself on the side of the road down there. But I'm talking about listening to the mind of God, to the Spirit of God, and to the revelation of the Lord. Amen. And there's times that we try to do things because someone else done it, or we saw it done this way, and you say, this is why I'm doing it. No, we follow the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ might be for you today to be crucified and persecuted and to be rend and slapped, just like that man Brother Pike was preaching about where the guy came up and beat him, basically unconsciousness. And he said that was the mind of Christ. The Lord allowed the preacher to be beaten and to be laying there in suffering and in his own blood. The Lord allowed the preacher to do that for He could show the crucifixion of Christ in this day and hour. Amen. Yes, this life is grievous for the moment. Yes, there's pains and agonies and things for the moment. And it might be grievous for a moment. God will raise you up and He'll bring you out of that pool of blood and He'll bring you up out of that thing and you'll be exalted, brothers and sisters, because you're in Him and being one with Him. But that might be the choosing of God for you today. He might be choosing you that way of tribulation and persecution. But brothers and sisters, He might choose you this day to be chastened of the Lord and to be chastened and beaten by the Lord. Amen. But you know what? It's grievous for a moment, brothers and sisters, but that's going to yield forth a fruit, not of this world, but in the world to come. It's going to yield forth a spirit of power and strength and salvation and honor and glory and provisions that this world has never seen. Brothers and sisters, the gold of this world, the diamonds of this world, the pearls of this world, it's all lying vanity. We think of the kingdom of God and He walks upon the gold and the blacktop and you give your soul for that kind of stuff. You give your soul and you give your strength and you give to it and it'll work for you because there's a reward in all labors. You labor for this world and labor in this world, there'll be a reward. There'll be homes and houses and businesses and employees and it's all vexation of the Spirit. It's all vexation, brothers and sisters, every single bit of it. But come to the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord and say, Lord, I know that I'm here for a moment. My life is like a vapor. Lord, let me give it to You. Let me give this life to You. Let me give everything I have unto You. Let me seek after my neighbor and after my friends and after the people I don't know and after my enemies. Let me seek what's good for them and what's well for them. Then you've actually partook of another world, brothers and sisters, another world to come. You say, you make it sound easy. I don't know if I ever have made it sound easy. I don't think I've ever tried to project living a Christian life as easy, brothers and sisters. You know, I could just tell you the word again. It's vexation. It's grievous for the moment, brothers and sisters. You know, I'm not here to tell you that God wants to lift you up in this world. The only way He wants to lift you up in this world is to put you on the cross of this world that all men could be drawn unto Him. Well, I don't like this kind of salvation message. I like the one where Jesus died for me and shed His blood for me and gave me everything that pertains unto life. And that's the message message I like, but I've received everything that pertains unto life, and the life is on the other side. And I found out that the only way I could get people on this side into that life is by living a crucified way before them and denying myself. And that's the only way that they'll see beyond the veil through my life. That's the only way. I don't come and present myself as some great individual for people to follow me into the kingdom of God. I present myself as in need of a Savior, need of salvation, in weakness of mind, and absolutely powerless. When He could take a nation down overnight, brothers and sisters, you need to come to the humility of that in your spirit and say He could take you down in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He could take you down and you'd be nothing, and you could be dependent on something. You know, and you say, well, why do you preach like that? It's because you was busted up and you was dependent on doctors and things, laying in a hospital. Brothers and sisters, I was never dependent on a doctor. I was dependent on a God. Amen. Because I wouldn't even been there for the doctors to look at me unless God granted life to me, because it could have been taken away just like that. Amen. And my faith and my trust and my dependency was in a living God. My humiliations, being in there and having people ripping my shirt off and being unconscious and being thing and things shoved down me and stuff. Yeah, that was a humiliating thing, brothers and sisters, for a man that tries to keep himself separated from that kind of things around women and stuff. Yes, it's a humiliating thing. But brothers and sisters, that's the way sometimes God will take us, for we can find out how fragile this life truly is. And maybe the fragileness that I found of this temporal life might come where I could bring life to you and bring life to you. And I rejoice in the Lord for every heartache, every sorrow, every loss. I rejoice in the Lord that when the financial institutions denied me in this world and I came to where I was dependent upon God and saying, God, I can't get myself out of this one. I can't get myself out of this one because of my name and my credit and because I'm such a great businessman. I lived in that world and I proved myself in that world, but that world is a lying vanity and it's dung, and that world is the one that brings people into hell and into devastation and damnation. I would rather be a pauper through this world. I would rather be laying in the gutter as a drunk, brothers and sisters, looking up saying, I need a God, as standing before the Lord with my wealth and my strength and knowing that there's children all around the world that are starving to death and knowing that I've got friends and things that are in need. Your finances will testify and judge you on the day of judgment when you see your friend or your brother or somebody in need. You can say, well, they're ignorant. They're in need because they're ignorant. They're in need. They're stupid. No, they're in need because God put them in need, for He could see if you got the compassion of Christ in your life, for He could judge you. For when you stand behind, beside Him or in front of Him, He says, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. Is that what you want, brothers and sisters? Brother Pike, somebody would hand him $30,000 and he was a miserable man. They'd hand him $50,000. He was a miserable man. $70,000. He was a miserable man. He said, my God, this will judge me on the day of judgment. I've got to get this into the hands of the needy. I got to get this in the hands of the poor. He said, brethren, get them presses rolling. I've got paper down there for you to print. God's made a way. And he said, we're going to put the paper down there. We're going to get the books down there. And then he seen the needs over here in the foreign fields and he started shooting it over there and over there. See, there was a man that never lacked, because he knew that anytime God gave him something, that he wanted to stay in a place of dependency upon God. He wanted to live in that kind of a place. Are you there? Are you there? Or are you at ease in Zion? Are you just kicking back thinking, man, we're serving an awesome God? Praise God, man. Let's just party a little bit. Man, hallelujah. You've never seen God. You've never seen God. There's no place like that. And you say, well, brother, I understand that there's rest, you know, in the spirit, man, and there's rest in Christ. Brothers and sisters, this rest that I'm talking about is when you're walking through the valley of the enemy and walking through the shadow of death, and there's 1,000 on your right falling and 10,000 on your left, and you're in rest, amen. Because that rest ain't in this world. It's in another world, brothers and sisters. That rest is in another world. It's in the spirit world. And yes, brothers and sisters, I've partaken of that rest, and I've walked in that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that gives us peace that when we're being crucified and persecuted and going through tribulation, it's a peace. It's a peace that we say, hallelujah, God's being lifted up, hallelujah. God's being lifted up right now in the earth, amen. The Bible says that there's a present day crucifixion. It talks about some trampling the blood of Jesus under feet. Brothers and sisters, when they're humiliated and mocking you, the blood of Jesus is being trampled under feet. Brothers and sisters, learn what power is. Learn what the manifestation of Jesus is. Learn what it is. Well, I like that royalty and I like that kingship. I like to be lifted up with Him in kingship. The only way you'll be lifted up with Him in kingship is a crucified way and a crucified life. You deny yourself. You live in a life of separation and segregation, and you live in a life of self-denial, and you live in a life of crucified way. That's the way. He showed us the way. He showed this to us, brothers and sisters, and He showed us the way, and He is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. And there's no other way to enter in except by Him. And the only way you you're going to enter in by Him is because you followed Him. And that means you followed Him down this same trail. But you say, well, He paid the price for me. Yes, He did. He paid the price for you, and He took away that Adamic nature, and He gave you the power of salvation. He gave you the power of eternal life. He filled you with the Holy Ghost, for you could walk around and say, man, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. No, He gave you that power to walk in the same way that He walked. The Bible's very clear that He is the example, and that we're going to be about His business, and we're going to do the same thing, the Bible says. The Bible's very clear we're going to be about the Father's business, and we're going to do the same thing that Christ Jesus done. And you say, but Brother Rob, Jesus is the one who paid the ultimate price. He's the one that was crucified for us that we could have life. And I said, yes, but there's others that ain't entered into that life yet. And why? Because they haven't seen the Savior. They haven't met the Savior. Well, where's He at? He's walking. He's speaking. He's talking. He's still alive. He's in the earth. Where's He at? He's in the body of Christ. What's the body of Christ doing? It's doing the same thing it was doing when He walked in the fullness of Jesus. It's doing the same thing, brothers and sisters. Well, things changed since then. It's changed for us because we've been caught away into the third heaven. It's changed for us because we've passed from death unto life. It's changed for us, but it made it that way. So then why did He let us condescend to a man of less estate? You know, if this is what we're looking for, oh man, I come to a revelation, I need a Savior. Oh man, I come to this revelation. Oh Jesus, come into my heart. Oh God, come into my heart. Oh Lord, please come on. Oh, I'm confessing You with my mouth, come into my heart. And the Lord says, okay, He's done everything now. Pop Him on the head. Man, crack that skull wide open. Open, man, let the blood run and get Him off in there before He messes up. I mean, come on. Crack that rascal on the head, bust him, and just get him on in there. Why did He leave us here? What are we doing here? I mean, if we really have come to this revelation, this kind of understanding, brothers and sisters, we're about the Father's business. We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors from heaven. We're ambassadors in Christ. And we are here for one thing, not seeking after our own, not looking for the provisions of this world, not looking for the prosperity of this world, not looking for the substance of this world. We are here, brothers and sisters, seeking after the well-being and the care of others. And when we're seeking after that, there will be an abundance of the invisible world that will pour over, and we'll walk in prosperity on this side. But if God chooses to strip it away from you, magnify Him, glorify His name, and praise Him, and say, thank You, Lord God, that I'm worthy, amen, to be crucified for Your name's sake. Thank You, Lord God, that I'm worthy to be ridiculed. Thank You, Lord God, that I could be made the offscouring of the earth. Thank You, Lord God, that I could be lifted up on a cross of crucifixion, the most humiliating thing ever. Have you ever been humiliated? Have you ever walked in that kind of a stature and state of mind? Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, that's when you find Christ. That's when you find Him. You know, you're not going to find Him in your strength, in your wealth. You're not going to find Him in your health. You're not going to find Him there. You'll never know Him there. You'll deny Him there. You'll walk around it. But when you walk into those things and say, here I am, Lord, here I am, then say, use me. Utilize this life. Let this life be given as an example for you. Now you've come to some revelation. It's a crucified way. Don't you know Christ had to do that? He had to go to Gethsemane. He had to seek. Have you ever been there on your knees saying, Lord, if this cup could pass from me, oh God, please let it pass. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Has your life just been so cushiony, so fragile, and your life so fragile that if God asks you to do something, you just break? You know, we're not weak, brothers and sisters, in that kind of way. Well, that's where the strength of God comes in. When He says, I want you to walk down De La Rosa. I want you to walk down. I want Him to spit in your face. I want Him to pluck your beard. I want Him to mock you. Then you say, man, I'm not going to let that happen. Bless God. See, that's not the weakness. That's human fleshly strength that denied the power of God. But the power of God will say, drop your head. You know, humble yourself. Oh, say whatever you want to say against me. Say whatever you want to say, but I love you. And walk through that humility as they mock you and criticize you and ridicule you. And you say, man, I love you. God loves you. Amen. Now you're talking about being a soul winner, brothers and sisters. You know, that's being a soul winner. You know, when you want to talk about faith in God, you're going to have faith, brothers and sisters, to deny yourself first. You're going to have faith to expose the son of perdition of your first birth. And you're going to have to say, you know what, this is the enemy of God. That's faith, brothers and sisters. And when you get that kind of a faith, then there will be things that you could show faith and prosperity and blessings of God in other ways. But until there's a death, until there's a denial, until there's a crucifixion, you've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. And everything you've got is a lying vanity. And it's false. And it ain't nothing. Brothers and sisters, God wants you. He wants your mind. He wants your life. Amen. As a living sacrifice. Let me read a little more. Verse 7 says, but made Himself no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. That's what our God has done, brothers and sisters. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Brothers and sisters, if you remember, the murmuring is what opened up the earth and swallowed up the elect of God. This was God's chosen people. This is the one he took them out of bondage of Egypt. This is the one that he gave them water to drink in a dry desert that had no water. This is the ones that when they had no food that the manna rained down from heaven. This is the ones, brothers and sisters, that their clothes did not wear out when they walked for 40 years in the same pair of shoes and the same pair of pants and the same clothing, and it did not wear out. They didn't go threadbare. The soles didn't walk out on their feet. You say, man, we need to find out what kind of rubber they put on them soles. No, you need to find out the God that they was walking in, and they was their provider and one that made their way. But let me tell you something, brothers, but those are the very ones that the earth opened up and swallowed them up. Brothers and sisters, there's some of us that have come across that perspective of the Red Sea, come through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and we've heard about Jesus, our great Savior and our great salvation, and we've heard of those things, and we found ourselves in a wilderness, wandering around within a wilderness. And we find that if we murmur and complain against God, that this earth could open up, this whole earthen part, and just swallow you up, and you will not have any life in this world to come. Amen. Brother said we got to start understanding what's going on and quit looking at everything with your mind of human understanding and human reasoning. And you need to come to things and say, you know what, Lord, I'm only here as a servant unto you. What's 80 years? What's 100 years? It's nothing. It's a vapor. It's a mist. I'm here as a servant to you, Lord. If you come to that kind of revelation, here I am, God, use this life. It's so short and so miserable and full of vexation anyway. Just use it. Take it and use it for your glory, for your praise, for your honor, for your kingdom. Now you've stepped into life. Amen. Now you've come to some kind of a revelation, knowing that you're nothing, absolutely nothing. You are a nobody. You're nothing. Your life means nothing. You know, you walk outside and step on an old ant and squish it right in the ground. You don't think nothing of it. You don't lose sleep tonight because you've done that. Or an old tick, you yank it off a dog, and that's your life, brothers and sisters, outside of Christ. You're nothing but fuel for the fire. The Bible says some were made to be taken and burned. And you think, man, I don't like this. Well, brothers and sisters, this is revelation. You want revelation, you want mysteries, come to that revelation and realize that you're nothing and a nobody lest you be in Christ. That's the only life. That is the only life. You say, well, you've already said that. I know, and I'm going to keep saying it until it comes revelation to you, until it becomes a manifestation of revealing to you. And you say, well, how do you know it hasn't? Because I see and observe your life. And it's in a tailspin, and it's just walking around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. And I know that when you've come to the revelation and to the revealing of what this life is all about, it's not hard to see, brothers and sisters. Get out of your youthful mind and your youthful reason and come into the mind that's established in Christ, that you can be considered an elder in the things of God and in the kingdom of God because you're established in a sound mind and you're not wavering like on that serpent trail. You're on a street called straight, man, and you're walking in exactly where God would have you to walk. And yes, the adversaries against you, the multitudes are all walking in one big bold line, and they're walking and they look like they got power and strength, and they'll knock you down, they'll mock you, they'll laugh at you, just as the Sanhedrin did when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the religious world will do to you. You're not supposed to be popular in the religious world. You're not supposed to, all these people go, oh man, you're the one I've been looking for. Boy, this is the message I've been hunting for. This message, the religious world is blind. They won't see it. They'll never see it. Brothers and sisters, they're just like the Sanhedrin was of that day and hour, those religious, self-righteous people. They'll never see what I'm talking about. They'll never want to hear this message. They'll mock a message like I'm preaching this morning. They'll mock it and lightly esteem it and say, oh man, don't pay no attention to that Pentecostal preacher. Don't pay no attention to him. Man, Jesus died for us, man, and he gave us everything. And I'm in agreement with them. But brothers and sisters, why did he do it? And what was the purpose for? For we could be about the Father's business. Amen. Don't you trust him? Don't you have faith in him? Trust him with everything. You know, if you're laying there and the doctor say, you're dying, buddy. You can't live. You're not going to make it. You say, praise God. Let God be glorified in my death then. Hallelujah. God has all things worked out after his will, after his counsel. Amen. You know, when the bankruptcy judge is laughing in your face and stuff, you should say, praise God. Hallelujah. God is being esteemed and glorified in my weakness. Amen. He'll make me strong. He'll restore back to me. Amen. What the devourers come and the cankerworm has tried to take away from me, God will add back. Amen. And brothers and sisters, when do we get in despair? When do we drop our heads? And when do we give the enemy power? And when do we give him strength? When do we testify his strength and his power? We don't do that, brothers and sisters. We say all things are working after the good of him who love the Lord. And one thing I could tell you, I might have problems and I might struggle and I might stagger around, but one thing I'll tell you for sure is that I love the Lord. Amen. He's my God, my power. He is my salvation. I love him, and everything is working after his will, after his counsel. I'm suffering after his will. I'm being beaten after his will. I'm showing in the weakness of the flesh because it's his will. It's his mind. Brothers and sisters, now we're standing at the threshold of resurrection. Amen. And he'll lift you up and raise you up. Amen. For what reason? To get you up there and to esteem you? No. For Jesus could be exalted, and it'll draw all men unto him when you're on the cross. Why? Because you're the body of Christ. Amen. You're the one that's on the cross in this day and hour. And he's given you a spirit. He's given you his power. He's given you everything that you could endure as a good, absolute soldier for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. This is some good preaching. You say, the Bible says if you testify yourself that it ain't true. I wasn't testifying to myself. Myself is saying, I don't like this message. Old Rob Coons is saying, man, come on. Let's just make it a little bit easier. You know, Jesus died. He made a little comfort road for you, man. Got the wide old road. Nice stripes down it, boy, and just cruising along. That's the message Brother Rob wants to hear. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is the message of Christ. This is the message of the sons of God. This is the message of revelation. This is the message of the mysteries being revealed. Brothers and sisters, it's not some kind of thing that's unattainable. It's not some kind of thing that's hid from us. These secrets are unveiled. What is the secret? The secret is it's a crucified way, a crucified life. It's a life of sacrifice. You might understand and what you think a mystery is, a mystery, brothers and sisters, it's a mystery to the world. It ain't a mystery to me. It's not a mystery to me, and it's not hidden from me because he's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. These things are unveiled and I see them clearly, brothers and sisters, but I got to see them in you for that you could come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a crucified way. Amen. It's a sacrificial way. Brothers and sisters, yes, it's a way of pain and agony and sorrows and persecutions and tribulations and beatings. Boy, I'll tell you what, Brother Rob, listen to your message. I wouldn't want anything to do with God. I know it's evident in your life. You've ran from everything that I've said. But what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the rewards of life. You want to talk about Jesus again? Man, let's talk about him. He did it. He overcame it. Why? Because he was in the mind of God. The Bible said, let this mind be in you also. Amen. A mind that thought of not robbery to be equal with God. That kind of mind is a mind that says, hey, I'm not here seeking after my own. Why would you be seeking after your own when you already have everything? Why would you be seeking after your own? So I'm coming because I have everything, and I come to give everything that I can to others, that others could have what I have. I give it away as fast as I can give it. Give it away as quick as I can give it, and give it. See, I've come into the principle. That's prosperity, brothers and sisters. If my bank account says zero and somebody else is eating a biscuit because my bank account says zero, I just came to prosperity. Do you realize that? That's true prosperity, brothers and sisters. That is what true prosperity is. When Moses found himself out there in the wilderness, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. People got an idea, and they think this is the way God's going to move. But what happens when the financial dollar of America crashes? Then what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do, preacher? You're going to starve to death. I'm not dependent on the financial strength of America. And you know what? If you find me someday and you come around here and say, hey, brother, you're starving, you're going to still see me testifying to the Lord. My God is power. And I'll tell you what, I don't hunger. I've never hungered and I'll never thirst according to his word, brothers and sisters, because I've come into a place of satisfaction. He gave Moses the strength to walk around on a mountain 80 days. 80 days, brothers and sisters, with no food, no water, no nothing. Amen. My God's the same. If it comes to something like that, he could give me life. But then if he lets me wither, sons of God don't die, brothers and sisters. If God lets me go through some kind of a humiliation or starvation or something, I'm not going to be begging for bread, brothers and sisters. I'm going to be rejoicing, saying, you know what? My God is allowing me to suffer for your name's sake and for his sake. My God is alive, and I'll be testifying him. And you know what? It'd be a blackbird, maybe, that comes by and drops me a provision of meat, a little old blackbird. No, you say that blackbird, man, it must have been an angel of God. No, there was an angel of God that moved on that greedy, stingy, selfish bird, and he brought it down to give you a provision. The same God is alive today. The same God is well today, brothers and sisters. He said he'll take the wealth of the unjust. He'll take that wealth, and it's set aside and it's stored away for we as the sons of God. Do we go begging for that and tell him it's necessary for him to give it? No. We seek after God in poverty. We seek after God in weakness. We seek after God in suffering. We seek after God in those things, and God is our provider. Man's not our provider. God is our provider. He'll use the bosom of a man. He'll use a blackbird. He'll rain it out of heaven. He'll do whatever. He'll take and get the clutches of the IRS to let go of it. it just a little bit, but our God is an awesome God. He is a supplier, and He'll give you everything, brothers and sisters. Have you learned to walk there? Amen. I'll tell you what, maybe in some of the weaknesses and some of the financial devastations, if that's what it takes to find Him in strength and power, praise His name and glorify His name. Amen. Let me finish this little bit of reading, and we're going to close the service. Verse 15, it says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith. Is that what your faith does? Brings a man of God to be sacrificed for you? And at your service, which one's coming forth? Is it your faith coming forth or the obedience of the minister? Which one is it, brothers and sisters? It's both. Amen. But when you are in that place, why are you there? It's for others to come there and see those things as the examples in the earth. Yea, if I've been offered upon the sacrifices and services of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own. This is what set Timotheus apart. This is what we're speaking about this morning. It says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Ephorodius, my brother and companion in labor and a fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Could we be possibly talking about a God that's rejoicing in one's close call to death? Is that what we just read? But see, he didn't regard his life. He said that Ephorodius didn't regard his life. He said, you know what? Well, I'm here to give it for Christ. Christ spared him and gave him more life because he was willing to give his all and every bit of it. And he said, this is why I'm sinning. You see, brothers and sisters, I want to do something for God. You say, I want to do something for God. Could it be required of you to give your all? You know, we think about Christ gave his all. You know, we talk about the apostles being persecuted. We read the book of martyrs and read about these women that said, hey, put my finest dress on me when they go to burn me at the stake. You know, we say, well, you know, we're living in a country right now that's not happening. You might be living there in a country, but just as the place I'm supposed to be going next month, you know, there's been close to 500 Christian people killed just in the last few days, right there in the same town, the same community where Brother Troy and I was at over in the Philippines preaching, the people rose up against us. You realize that the very week that we were there was people murdered, Christian people murdered there in the Philippines, that these Muslims and terrorists are going through the streets and killing? Don't you know before we went that they'd had 15 ministers held for several months into captivity, and they had them over there locked up and holding them as hostages? Brothers and sisters, we're in a hostile world, you know, but who cares? Brothers and sisters, this world is temporal. It's short. It's full of vexation of the spirit. Amen. And if you happen to be lucky and fortunate enough to be about the Father's business and they come and crucify you or kill you or slice your throat, and it's recorded down through all of eternity that you were martyred for Christ, that you didn't esteem your life and your well-being and your provisions and your blessings and your little short, miserable, vexation life to be more important, but you sought after the salvation and things for others, that maybe God could use you a little bit? What would be such an honor as that? Oh, but I die with bank accounts and millions of dollars, and I die with buildings and provisions and houses. Those are just going to testify against you. Well, can we have anything, Brother Rob, and be a Christian? No, you can't have nothing. Nothing. Brother Pike came to that revelation. They said the place was worth millions of dollars down there. He didn't put it up for him. He said, this is the Lord's. Amen. Everything I have have, I want it to be the Lord's. Everything I have. If I have a business, I want it to be the business of God. I want it to glorify Him in His name. I want it to be a business of suffering and doing good for others. And maybe my business taking some of its time off, doing something for the needy or helping some needy or helping some poor. Now you're talking about a business that'll prosper. Amen. You might not have $1 million like the other guy in the business, just like yours next door in the bank, but you got something that he'll never have and never give. Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Where is your faith? Where is your finances? Where is your stability? Where's it at? Is it in temporal things or is it in eternal things? Brothers and sisters, let's catch on the revelation of the Lord, and let's catch on what a true Christian truly is. Let's catch on to what true life is and what abundant life is. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the rich man went to the apostles of God and said, please, man, let me purchase of this Holy Ghost and let me give. The minister of God just about wanted to take the man's life and insulting the Spirit of God in such a way. Brothers and sisters, the only way that you can have life is by giving it. Don't seek after your own. Don't seek after your salvation. Seek after salvation of somebody else. When you're so busy trying to get the word to somebody else, salvation to somebody else, prosperity to somebody else, food to somebody else, and provisions to somebody else, and homes to somebody else, God will add them to you on this side. Either those things are added to you on this side by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, and by the love of God, or they're an uncertain sound and they've come forth to you to reward you for your temporal labors. Amen. So there's a reward for all labors. Where do we at? Where do we live? Where do we walk? How do we fellowship? It's up to you. Take the mind. Receive the mind of God. Receive the revelation of the Lord. Amen. It's yours. It's for you. He gave it to you. And when you reveal it, when you really reveal it, the revelation, the revealing of God, the revelation, the revealing of Christ, the revelation, the revealing of Christ, revelation, mystery, it's revealing the invisible God, but it's going to be revealing Him in you as the body of Christ. It's going to reveal Him in you in a crucified way, a way of suffering, a way of sorrow, a way of grievance to the Spirit, a way of vexation. I watch your lives, brothers and sisters. I watch it, and I see some of you going through things, and you think, well, preacher, what are you going to do, man? Where do you step in at? And I say, I can't. I'm watching God have His way. I'm watching God have His way after His counsel, after His will. Submit to that and yield to it and just rejoice. Praise God. Whatever it is, just rejoice in the Lord because it's all working for your good. Amen. I don't care how bad it looks for you. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care if it's a death sentence. You think, well, you don't care? No, I don't care in the way that you care. I care in the way God cares. And if there's anything that stands between you and your God and He strips it away from you, if He cuts your hands off, if your hands offend and He cuts your hands off, you say, man, don't you feel for me? I said, no, them hands were an offense to the living God, man. Hallelujah. Go get you some of them hooks, man, and just get you some tracks, man. You can still hand out a track with a hook and give a hook and rejoice in the Lord with your hooks, man. And praise God that the offense before the living God was cut off and taken away from you, that you can enter into the kingdom of God. If your eyes offend you and you got to pluck them out, get you a white stick and go down and say, my God is alive. My God is well. My God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. I can see into the kingdom of God and I can see the blessings of God. Brothers and sisters, get away from the lying vanities of this world. Amen. If He strips you down, know that He can restore you. Read in your Bible of how many people of God that He stripped down before the people and restored them and raised them back up. He said He'll get add back. He said if you give your homes and your houses and your substance and your finances, He'll add them back to you 100-fold. He'll give it to you. Man, you'll never lack. Brothers and sisters, like Brother Pike said, man, you know what? He said, I had this nice new car given to me and I thought, man, it's going to wear out. It's going to fade away. It's just going to go to naught and go to nothing. He said, but you know what? He gave it to another minister. Upset the brother. Man, he just went and bought him this brand new car. I think it was a Lincoln Continental. I wasn't there at this particular time. And then they started giving him cars one put in his name. They said, we're not going to put this in your name because we know what you'll do with it. You'll give it away. So we're going to keep it in our name. Here it is, preacher, just drive it. But the preacher had revelation. He said, I live in a house of plenty. I have no lack in my home. He said, my refrigerator is overflowing and full. And he said, I got the doors open of it, giving stuff out of it as fast as I can give it. And he said, it just keeps coming in. What are we talking about? He came to a revelation. He wasn't seeking after his belly. He wasn't seeking after his hunger pains. He wasn't seeking after those things. He was seeking after others that were hungry, and he never hungered because he came to a revelation. Brothers and sisters, if you lack, it's for one simple reason. One reason. Just one reason. If you lack, it's because you haven't learned the principle to give. Give your life. Start there. You can give all your money, all of your finances, all of your wealth and go to hell. You can give all of it and go to hell. But I'll tell you what, when you give your life for the gospel's sake, then that means you've given everything. That means you've given your time, your substance, your finances. You've given your families. You've given your businesses. And if you've got one thing between you and God, one of those things that you esteem greater than God, when your business is more important than being faithful to the house of God, you'll lose it. When your family is more important for for you to spend time with your wives and your children than to spend time with a brotherhood and doing something for God. Thus saith the Lord, you will lose it. Brothers and sisters, everything you've got, you sacrifice and give it to God. Everything. Don't hold one thing back. Don't hold one strength back. Don't hold one breath back. Don't hold one heartbeat back. When you hold things back from God, you'll lose it. Hold your life back. Control your life. Run your life. Set your course. Set your life. You've already lost it. May as well live it up and have a good time because you ain't got no life. The only life you got is temporal and it's a lying vanity. Go ahead and just get in it and live it up and fellowship and have you a good time. But give it to Christ. Let it be sacrificed. Let it be persecuted. The King came to live in a life of vexation, a life of vanities in the perspective of the vanities of this world. Hey, if you're who you say you are, great physician, bring yourself off that cross. If you're who you say you are, come on, let's see you establish this kingdom. Let's take Israel. Let's take back control. Let's run the Roman people out of there. He said, nah, that's not my enemy. That wasn't his enemy. His enemy wasn't flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. It was spirits. Those spirits are manifesting. They're robbing your life. They're robbing your substance. They're robbing your families. They're taking your children away from you. They're taking everything away from you. They've done taken the government of America. This government is such a perverse, perverted government. It is so filthy and perverted that if Jesus Christ, listen to me, if Jesus Christ himself came back and manifested in the flesh and you put him as the president of United States of America under the way that it's operating right now, he couldn't do nothing. Is that an insult to you? I hope so. I'm letting you know how wretched and perverse our government is. The president can't do nothing in our government. There's too much perversion and too much filth and too much other people in the background through the Congress and through the Senate and through the legislation. They can't do what they can do. Jesus couldn't run the world under the perspective of things. What Jesus would do is just like he did when he went into the temple of Jerusalem. You know what he would do? He would run the money changers out of the government of America. And he'd run it out and he would set it up and it would be a dictatorship. And he'd say, this is what you're going to do, and if you don't do it, then there's a consequence for it. It's not going to plea bargain out. It's not going to go over here to the ACLU and get some kind of a better right, and this and that. It's going to be, thus saith the Lord, yea and amen. And don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying Jesus couldn't do it the way the government is now. I mean, but he wouldn't even try, because he'd come in and run them out. He would clean house in just a moment. He would have things cleaned up in no time whatsoever, and believe me, he's going to do it. Jesus Christ is going to come back up, and he's going to set a government up in this world, and he's going to show this world that there was a way that it could have been done, and it was in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it'll happen. And the thing is, you might get to be here and walk through that tribulation, and he might grant the strength and the power for you to walk through this tribulation, but you will pay with your own blood. That's what my Bible teaches. You will pay with your own blood. I've been purchased by his blood. What was you purchased for? What do you mean you were purchased by his blood? I was purchased into life eternal and abundant in his blood. And what I did is I stepped into another life. And that life isn't governed by this life. That life that I've stepped into, this life, is governed by that life. When you try to govern God and his word, and you get your theologians and you rewrite it and you change it and say, well, it ain't for this day, and you reason everything out, you're trying to govern a spirit God with your carnal concepts of what you think religion is. You think you're going to move God. My message is, you know, give everything, everything, brothers and sisters, your life, your breath, your strength, your wives, your businesses, your companions, and everything. That's my message this morning. Give everything. Don't hold nothing back. But see, there's uncertain sounds in some of those things. I understand they're not uncertain to me, but there's people that try to do that. They try to give without giving their life. They still want to control their life. Well, God, I'm going to appease you. I'm going to satisfy you. You know, I'm going to go ahead and give you Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and give you Sunday. I'll be in church Sunday. That's all that's required of me. Who told you that? Who told you it's just Wednesday night or Friday night or Sunday's all that's required of you? You need to give your life as a living sacrifice. You need to give every day, every strength, every breath, and every fiber. Sometimes we ain't in church because we're showing it's not as important to us as our things, our life, our businesses, our families. Our things are more important. You know, when you're seeking after him, you know why? You're faithful in church. You say, for I can come and get fed. No, for you could be an example that other people could hear you when it comes your time to speak. Another man was sitting in a church not long ago. He said, how come it's always Brother Jonathan preaching to us? Why don't I get an opportunity? And I said, why don't you live a life? Why don't you be faithful to church? And I said, why don't you show yourself loyal and show yourself faithful and be in the house of God and be there that when I do call on you, that people ain't going to find fault. Why you call on him? He's never here. He ain't really walking with us or doing this and that. An example means you're in the house of God when the doors are open. So you see, brothers and sisters, who's leading your life? Who's governing your life? Who's controlling your life? What are you doing? You know, well, I'm doing this is under the Lord. I've got to do this and that. If you're doing anything that's under the Lord, it'll glorify his name. It'll glorify him. He is preeminent, not you. You're not preeminent. Your business isn't preeminent. Your finances aren't preeminent. Nothing you have is preeminent. The only thing that's preeminent is Christ. And if anything you're doing doesn't glorify and magnify Christ, you'll lose it. If you compromise God in anything, you compromise God. I don't care what it is. You compromise Him in money. You compromise Him in life. You compromise Him in substance. It don't matter what it is. You'll lose it. I promise you. He'll take it away from you because He don't want nothing between you and Him. Nothing whatsoever. He'll take wives. He'll take husbands. He'll take children. He'll take everything. You know why? Because He's not concerned what you're concerned with. You're concerned with longevity and concerned with breath of life. You're concerned with the strength of your heart. You're concerned with this and that. You know what? He's not concerned about that, brothers and sisters. He's concerned about your soul. That's why He says, "Ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin." He's not concerned about your heart beating every skip. He's not concerned about that. He's concerned about your soul. And if it takes a weak heart to make you think, "My God, I'm standing before a living God, I better get right with God," that's more concern to Him. Brothers and sisters, get into the mind of Christ. Don't put this temporal life of vexation to the Spirit of God before Him. Put your trust, all of it, in Him. Every bit of it. Brothers and sisters, you say, "Well, you're saying the same thing, Brother Rob, over and over." And guess what? Come to church on Wednesday night, I'm going to be saying the same thing. Come to church on next Friday, I'm going to be saying the same thing. Next Sunday, I'm going to be saying the same thing. I say, give your life as a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. Give everything. Is your life more important? I mean, what is more important in life? And evidently, you haven't given your life when you're trying to control it. Where is the surrenderance to God? When God chooses your location, when God chooses your business, when God chooses your companion, when God chooses everything, that's where we got to come with God. But we get in the way. We've got it worked out up here. Oh yeah, I know this and I know that, but you know what? We know nothing and think we know something when we know nothing whatsoever. But I know one thing for sure, for a fact, that God is a righteous God. He's an awesome God. He's a just God. And everything is after His will. Everything is after His counsel. And everything works for my good because I love Him. Do you love Him? If you truly love Him, brothers and sisters, when we stand before Him to worship Him, there is such a love emanating from you and thanking Him and praising Him. You know what? That love isn't conditional, brothers and sisters, in your bank account. It isn't conditional in your strength. It isn't conditional how much long you got to live. It isn't moved like that. Randall shared the story about his grandmother, you know, a godly woman, said that she had calluses on her knees from praying. You know, when she found out her days were numbered and that she was dying, it didn't change her respect or her love for God. They said you could hear her praying and rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. See, she wasn't hooked into this world, to the vanities of this world. She done touched into something else and rejoiced and praised the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you're in love with Jesus Christ, amen, you're rejoicing and you're praising Him, amen. You're praising Him in weaknesses. You're praising Him in sorrows. You're praising Him in poverty. You're praising Him in everything. And if you're in poverty, rejoicing and praising, He'll raise you up and make you rich. If you're weak, He'll raise you up and make you strong. If you're sick, He'll raise you up and make you well, amen. Because that's the secret, brothers and sisters, is falling in love with Him and praising Him and rejoicing in Him and magnifying His name. Then you've stepped into something that can't be taken away, can't be robbed, can't be touched, can't be anything, and you've entered into the kingdom of God. Let's stand together. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom's real. It's real to me. You know, you say, "Well, it's invisible, Brother Rob." Well, it's invisible to you that don't have eyes to see, but it's very manifested to me. I see it, I comprehend it, and I understand it. Are you boasting in yourself? No, I've already gone down that trail with you this morning. I'm not boasting myself. I'm boasting in the mind of Christ. My mind never saw it. My mind never touched it. My mind, it's incapable of getting there. It can't ever get there. It'll never see it. It'll never perceive it. It'll never understand it. It'll never walk in it. It'll do nothing but fall short. It'll do nothing but get in the way. Amen. So I'm not talking about my mind when I'm talking about what I see. I'm talking about His mind. Amen. And it was given to me freely by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And He granted me everything that pertaineth unto life. And He gave me His Spirit, gave me His power, and gave me salvation. For what? For I could walk around and rejoice, and for I could walk around and just praise God. I'm the Savior of the world and praise God. You know, I'm a king's kid. Take care of me. Do for me. No, He done it all for one reason, and I could give every bit of it back. Everything. If God gives you something, see how fast you can give it back. If He adds something to you, see how fast you can add it back. Then you've come to a revelation and you come to a secret that you will never lack and you'll never be in sorrow or in struggle. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song, Brother Ed. The altars are open. I like to come to church and get preached to. I came to church and got preached to this morning. You say, "I don't see it." I know you don't see it, but I see it perfectly well. Brothers and sisters, I don't stand up here like I'm on one side of the word and you're on another side of the word, or that I'm somebody great and you're somebody small. I don't feel that way. Brothers and sisters, I want to come and give my life. life to you, help you, and strengthen you, encourage you. I want to be an example before you of what Christianity is and what an overcoming life is. And brothers and sisters, I would be in hell if it wasn't by the grace and the mercies of a living God. I'm dependent upon Him. I'm dependent on Him to make it capable to walk this walk. Amen. To walk with Him. If I let go of that nail-scarred hand, brothers and sisters, I'll be on my face. If I quit looking to Him as my strength, then I'm going to be seen in weakness. I need Him every minute, every hour, every day. I need the Lord. Amen. Brother Pike made a statement. Said somebody asked him, "Are you full of the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "I'm doing everything I know and everything I can to stay full of the Holy Ghost." You know, let's quit testifying about being filled or some great evangelistic service or some great thing. Let's talk about testifying of staying full of the Holy Ghost, staying full of the power of God, walking in the blessings of God. Amen. Can you sing that this morning? Let it be your prayer this morning. God, I need Thee. I need You, oh God. I need You to show me Your strength, to show me Your power, to show me Your provision, to show me Your life. He's just asking you to give Him your all. That's all He wants, is your all. That's just your reasonable service. When you give Him every breath, every strength, everything, you give Him your life, your children, your families, and you give Him your substance, your businesses, your finances, your bank accounts, and you give it all to Him, that's just your reasonable service. You just now got His attention. Now what? Walk there in it. Amen. And watch the power of God. Elijah, he didn't put him up in a big mansion. He didn't put him up in a big temple. He had him at the brookside and the raven bringing him meat. Amen. When everybody else was in a famine, the whole world was in a famine and in a drought. It didn't rain for 7 years. Then he sent him over to the widow's house. She was about ready to starve to death. And then, but God made a way. Amen. Do you know God that way? Have you ever come to a place like that? It's an awesome place to be, to know that you're dependent upon God. It's a wonderful place to be. Your empires, your businesses, the financial institutions of America are going to crash and fall. Don't put your trust in them. Put your faith and trust in God. Don't put it in the dollar of America. It's going to fall. It's going to crash. It's going to go to nothing. Say, "Well, thanks for the revelation. I'll put it in the euro dollar now." Go ahead. It's going to crash and it's going to fall also. And I say the mark is going to be the only one that'll have strength. Well, I'll put it in the German mark then. I'll put all my trust and my investments and my finances in the German mark. That's okay, because you can put all your trust in the mark of the beast also, and you'll be numbered and marked. Amen. Put your trust in Jesus. Put everything in Jesus. Make your investments in Jesus. Put everything in Him. He's life, life eternal, life abundant. He's the way. He's the only way. Hallelujah. Have you learned to trust Him? Have you learned to walk in His mind? Have you let Him be your counselor? Have you let Him be your advisor? He is the advisor. He is the counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one with all understanding. Trust Him, amen. We could sing that song, and He's really not our everything. Sometimes we look at that reflection in the mirror, and that's our everything. That's the one we trust because He feeds us. That's the one we trust because He never lets us down. That's the one we trust because He gives us rest and He gives us provision. But brothers and sisters, that's the vanity. That's why they even suffered that thing they put in the bathroom. They call it a vanity. Because it's a vanity what you're looking at in that reflection. It's a vanity. Don't trust in it. Don't trust in it. Because if you put your trust in it, God will make Him crumble and make Him fall. He'll make Him weak. Man, put your trust in Jesus. Say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. I'm trusting in You." Amen. And then He'll say, "Well, I want you to take what you got and I want you to give it to the needy over there." "Oh, but Lord, I don't." And He says, "But I thought you said you trusted me." Brother Pike had all of his brethren over in the foreign fields. But he asked the brethren, he called a meeting. He said, "I want all the brethren to come together." He said, "I want you to take all of your money and all of your finances and give it to me right now." He says, "Because I'm going to walk down through the streets and I'm going to distribute it." He said, "These people are hungry and they're poor and they're in poverty." He said, "We need to show them the love of God." And he said, "I want all of your finances and all your money." And you think, "My God, I'm in a foreign country. I'm in a foreign land. What are we going to do?" And he said, "Don't you trust God? Don't you believe that God make a way?" "Oh yeah, but we called some of the brethren that were wealthy. We called them in America. And we said, 'Hey, man, you got to do this for us. You got to do this.'" No, he said, "Trust in God, amen. God will make a way. God will make a way." You know, and you say, "Well, He used the strength of a brotherhood." Amen. He'll use the strength of a brotherhood to bless the ministry. Yeah, but why? Is that for the ministry's sake? No, it's for your sake, that you could give and that you could sow and that you could add an increase to your own self. You're not giving because the ministry's lacking. You give because you lack. And you say, but I don't lack. I got everything. No, you're lacking. The Bible said you're being weighed in the balances and you're found lacking and found wanting. Amen. You don't measure lack by a bank account. You measure lack with no faith. And sometimes it takes no bank account to learn what faith is. That you're walking and trusting in Him. Don't trust in your strength. Don't trust in how many builders you got. Don't trust in that. When you trust in that, God will remove it. He'll move it and knock it out of your way that you're going to have to say, I trust in Jesus. Amen. I trust in Him. Amen. And man, put your trust in Him. And if you're in such a well-to-do place and you're such strength financially that you could look and mock the brethren and laugh at them like a bunch of worthless dogs and no goods and poor and poverty, you've never seen God. You should look at your brethren and esteem them greater than yourself and say, what, them are the brethren, them are the children of God. Those are the sons of God. Amen. That's what you do when you prosper, brothers and sisters. But if you're in such a strength and such a prosperity and you see your brethren in weakness, you should go to them. You should help them. And because we need to show them that our weak strength. Amen. And when you learn to do that, you've learned that what you have isn't yours anyway. It's God's. Amen. And He might require that of you. And He might call on you to do that very thing. He say, hey, give it and help and do that. And then you find out, but I can't. I can't give that because it's going to put me in financial troubles. I can't give that because it's going to take and I won't have money to invest. I can't do that because I got to do this and I got to do that. Well, you reason out your blessings from God and you'll just walk into what your little intellectual mind will allow you to walk in and what you can invest and give, but it's nothing. It's nothing. Gain this whole world. What's it prosper you, the Bible said, when you lose your soul? Brothers and sisters, get your affections in the other world. Get your affections and thoughts and substance and strength in another world. Amen. Then you're talking about prosperity. Amen. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to know who the son of perdition is. And when you realize Him, you'll kill Him and put Him to death and make Him weak, that He could be, not He, but that Christ could be made strong within your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing All Praise Him as we close the service. I love y'all. My prayer is for you this morning. My prayer is that you aren't guilty of coming to the house of God and hearing what the preacher's saying in your own carnal intellectual mind, and you got it all worked out and reasoned out. My prayer to you is that you'll get your eyes opened up and your ears opened up to the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord, and that you will truly come to a place to give your life as a living sacrifice, and that's your reasonable service. That's my prayer for you. And guess what? It's also my prayer for me. I say, God, take my life. Use it to the fullest of the potentiality in Christ, that you could be glorified, that you could be lifted up, that you could be exalted. Lord God, take everything I have, and utilize it for your kingdom. If I have a home, it's not being used for your glory, for your namesake, for your kingdom. I say, Lord, take it away from me and give it to somebody else. Take that talent and that skill and that ability and take it away and give it to one that has 10. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah. Can you pray like that and believe and trust in Him? But I say, I want to give you my home to be glorified in your name, that you could utilize it for your kingdom and you could use it, Lord, to show the love and the power and the kingdom of God. Anything I have, amen. What do you have that you haven't truly given to Him? You say, I've given Him my all. Well, then when He asks for you to give it, it shouldn't be a problem because it's not yours. Amen. Have it ever been required of you? What if the Lord asks you to go to Ethiopia? Sell all you got and go to Ethiopia and be there as a pauper before the people and give your life to teach them about Jesus Christ. You say, I don't think it's my calling. How do you know if you ain't listening? You have to listen. You got to yield. You got your mind on too many other things. You say you're called of God. You got your mind into so much of the filth of the world, you wouldn't hear God's voice if He spoke to you. You got your mind so much into the things of the world and the strength of temporal things that you wouldn't know the prosperity of God if it slapped you in the face. I say, repent before the Lord and fall on your face before the living God and say, God, have mercy on me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Where's your mind? What have you given your mind to? What have you given your thoughts to? Think on these things that are righteous, these things that are godly, these things that are holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you esteem your brother? Can you look over at your brother next to you in the church that may be on his face and flat in his finances and esteem him greater than yourself? Can you do that? If you can't do that, you don't know God, never known him, never seen him, and you just need to get born again. You know, Brother Pike, he said his whole brethren left him. He said, all of you left me. Every single one of you left me. I was one of them. He said, y'all left me. But you know what? The church stood. They took their finances away. The wealthy men in the church, the men that were called in finances, they all forsook them and went the other way. But you know what? God made a way. There was a manna that rained down from heavenly places, and God made a way. Amen. You can't bring the house of God down. What God has, He'll make stand. Amen. Because He's an awesome God. It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon Him. He may use you, and He may depend on you. You know that? He may depend on you to make the work of God strong. He may depend on you, but when you don't yield to Him and sacrifice to Him, then He's not dependent upon you, and I'm not dependent upon you. I'm dependent upon God. He may raise you up. He may put you down. He may raise another one up. He may put another one down. He may rain it down from heaven. He may do whatever. It's His anyway. Amen. These things are righteous. These things are godly. These things are holy. And we look after them. Brothers and sisters, if you be concerned for the things of God before you're concerned for your things, then God will be concerned for your things. You need God to be concerned for your things. Hallelujah. You could be concerned for your things and you'll hold them for a season. But when you got God concerned for your things, He stores them away in heavenly places and nothing will ever touch them. Nothing will ever take them away. Amen. They're stored away there forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. We're serving an awesome God, aren't we, brother? Amen. Let's sing All Praise Him as we continue on. We're closing the service. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thankful that you come to the house of God this morning? Were you exhorted this morning? I want to be exhorted to do more. I want to be exhorted to do better. I want to be exhorted to do greater. I want to be exhorted to give more of my life, more of my everything. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope it could be said the day I cross out of this world, I hope, brothers and sisters, that it could be said that He had nothing, He has nothing. Amen. He came into this world with nothing and He leaves with nothing. Amen. I hope that could be said and whirled around the world. Amen. But I'll tell you what I do have. What I have is they can't see and they'll never see and they'll never touch and they'll never know and never partake of. It's hid from them, hid from the wise, hid from the prudent. What is that? It's hid from the mind of this world. It's hid from the prosperity of this world. It's hid from the attorneys of this world. It's hid from the lawyers of this world. It's hid from the bankers of this world. It's only seen by the sons of God. There's lying vanities out there. They're just temporal. They're vanities and vexation of the spirit. That princess, you say, the one that was looking to be the ruler of Pakistan, had her trust in the world, wealth of the world, and had their little paparazzi all around her and her bodyguards. And just in a moment, they're gone. What is your life? Your life is nothing. It's nothing whatsoever. It means nothing whatsoever unless it's in Christ, unless it's hid away in God. It's nothing. Is that a revelation? I hope so. I hope it could truly become a revelation. Pray for your pastor, brothers and sisters. Pray that I could give my life. Pray that I could uphold the things that I'm saying to you this morning, because I'm saying them things to myself. It's like a preacher said, I may be pointing at you, but there's three fingers pointing back at me. So it's three times more required of me. Amen. I want to be that example, brothers and sisters, of giving my all. Pray for me.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.